Welcome to Christian Chapel Online. We're thrilled that you are joining us today. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor at Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you're joining us in the Tulsa area, we would love for you to join us in person. We believe that every individual is created for a relationship with Jesus and relationships with other believers, and those are best experienced in person. If you're joining us from outside of our area, we would encourage you to find a local community of believers where you live so you can find the same deep and meaningful experiences of relationships in the context of a faith community. Thanks again for joining us today. We pray that the worship service you're about to experience encourages you to continue to move forward in your relationship with Jesus.
Good morning. Can we give God glory too, just for what he's doing through our congregation, Christian Chapel for Burundi Churches? That's very, very encouraging just for me to hear as a congregant member. Chris did mention youth, college, young adults. What I've learned in the church world, specifically in the United States of America, is young adult can mean a wide variety of things depending on the church that you go to. Sometimes it's 18 to 25. Sometimes it's 18 to 29. Sometimes it's 18 to 35. How many of y'all, you feel like a young adult? How many of y'all feel like a young? Yeah, you're a young adult. There we go. All right. Welcome to the crew. In all seriousness, I mean, technically young adults at Christian Chapel, we have a college ministry of 18 to 23-ish. And then young adult, which we call the collective ministry, 24 to 29-ish, single and married, no kids. When do you graduate from that? I don't know, but that's not the point of why I'm up here today. We're so glad to be with you here this morning. I get the opportunity to continue this series called Why Do We Do That? Pastor Chris has been leading us in an amazing number of sermons, just really reflecting on things that we do as a global church and things that we specifically do as a local church. I get to talk about one thing that we do here at Christian Chapel that makes us somewhat unique among some local churches, because not every local church emphasizes the next generation the way that Christian Chapel emphasizes the next generation. And so today we get to try to answer the question, and I think we will, why the next generation? But before I fully jump into this, we have to define some terms, specifically this generation term. You see, we think about generations as Americans, as Westerners, in the context of people that were born in a 10 to 15 to sometimes 20 year period. That's a generation to us. I mean, boomers to Gen X to Gen Y, which is also known as millennial, to Gen Z and to Gen Alpha, and I don't know what comes after that. That's kind of how we define generations. From a biblical perspective, when they talk about the generations, a generation is every single person that's alive on planet Earth at one given moment. So when the scriptures, and we're going to get into them today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 78. That's where we're going to be, and we're also going to be in Deuteronomy 6. But the scriptures, when they talk about generations, it's this idea that when we speak to the next generation, we're actually speaking to people who are not quite born yet, which gives this very deep and supernatural view of the body of Christ. It gives a supernatural view to the kingdom, because we are quite literally sowing into, giving toward people that are not here with us yet. Now, I love the next generation, but the primary reason I love the next generation has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a youth or a young adults pastor. That might be shocking. It has nothing to do with the fact that my wife and I are about to expect our first child, which I'm so excited to sow into the next generation that way. It has nothing to do with that. And yet it has everything to do with something that I would think most of us in the room can identify with, which is that I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And so I prioritize and I emphasize the next generation and all that God is doing. And I can tell you, from my perspective and the seat that I get to sit in, that is absolutely something that this church prioritizes. It's absolutely something that Christian Chapel emphasizes. Let's go to Psalm 78, verse 1 through 7. It says this: "My people," this is King David, "hear my teaching. Listen to my words coming from my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. So I want to pause here because this is what Deuteronomy 6 and how Deuteronomy 6 ties into our message this morning. David is directly echoing what comes out of Deuteronomy 6. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. Another echo here to Deuteronomy 6. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Powerful scripture passage here, but I think we also need to read it in light of Deuteronomy 6. So I'm going to go there. In verses 4 through 9, it says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I see two things from this passage specifically, a couple of things that we could pull from both Psalm 78 as well as Deuteronomy 6, and that's we're to worship God and also to pass along this worship and this dedication to the word to the next generation. In other words, it's on us. Everybody say that with me this morning. It's on us. This isn't a pressure. I don't want this to suffocate anybody in the room today. It's not something to beat us over the head with. It's on us as more of a conviction. It's more of an empowerment. And we say it's on us because the generations that came before us had that same mandate. I mean, just raise your hand if you've been influenced by a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, a youth leader, a mentor of some kind, a pastor. Yeah, the next generation took it on themselves to invest into us. And the reason all of us are sitting in this room this morning is in part due to that investment. So we take this on and we say, not out of a sense of guilt or shame, but with conviction, it's on each and every single one of us. What I mean by this is we sometimes come to church and we can get lulled into the mindset, into the disposition that it's all about receiving. Like if I wasn't up here, it was a routine Sunday morning, Pastor Chris would be up here preaching, I would be sitting, I would be receiving from the word on a Sunday morning. We receive the word and we apply it to our lives. If you come on a Wednesday night and you sit under the teaching of some of our amazing and talented group leaders, you're receiving on a Wednesday night. If you go to a home group on a Sunday night and you go through those home group questions, don't worry, I'm not going to poll the home groups and see who actually goes through the questions and who doesn't go through the questions. But if you go through those questions, and even if you don't, if you're being guided in some way by the leader of that home group, you are receiving the word of God. And those are all great things. But we will be stunted in our growth as disciples if that's all discipleship really is to us. We can never become mature disciples if we don't receive and then get the mandate to then go forward and invest and to sow into the next generation. I'll echo it again as I'm going to echo all the way through my sermon this morning, is that something I'm very encouraged about with what I see here at Christian Chapel. I see people of all generations invested in kids, invested in preschool, invested in nursery, Royal Family Kids Camp over the summer, chapel youth. So many of our adults want to be involved with the college ministry and our young adult ministry, and it's something incredibly encouraging. But I want to bring us back to the first four verses alone here of Psalm 78. David says this, I just want to read it again to let it really make its way into our mind and our heart this morning. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. This it's on us mentality has made its way into David's heart. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known. He's acknowledging that the ancestors that came before him, the previous generation, has placed these things into David's heart. And as he speaks, he is saying, I'm going to do the same thing. I am going to pass along this mantle of leadership, this burden of responsibility to the next generation. Things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will let the next generation and tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. How do we do this? This is great information, all from the Word of God. The application is relatively simple. The first part of this application is that parents disciple. It talks a lot about children. A lot of us are in the parent role this morning, whether that's parents of biological kids, adoptive kids, foster kids, a spiritual mother or father to somebody else. We all carry the role of parent in some way, shape, or form. Those of us that have little ones at home, and maybe it's a little one, maybe it's a not so little one. Maybe they're running around, they're a toddler, or they're in elementary school, maybe they're a teenager. We have this burden of responsibility to disciple those in our home. And even if you don't have those little ones living with you, you still have impact and influence on your grown adult children and the lives that they live, because they are almost certainly, if not most likely, impacting the younger generation. And by the younger generation, I mean the 0 to 20, 0 to 25 age range, either directly through their own kids and your grandchildren, or as they lead, as they serve in their church contexts and in their communities. So we see this very real charge that parents disciple, but then also the church disciples. It's this idea that our primary disciples as parents, which, by the way, don't you love getting parent advice from somebody who's not even a parent yet? Don't you guys just love that right now? Which, hey, listen, I try my best to preach from the scriptures, okay? I'm not trying to, you know, project anything onto you. But as parents disciple, the church also disciples, because it's this idea that parents are the primary disciplers of their children. That's not something we can pawn off to somebody else. That's not something that we can just like kick off to the side and say, well, the spiritual formation of my children is actually the youth pastor's responsibility. It's primarily the youth leader's responsibility. It's primarily the kids pastor's responsibility. The college ministry is going to take care of my kid. Like, I don't really got to do anything with them. I don't really have to actually invest in a spiritual sense into the lives of my kids. That's not true. Because what does the Psalm say? It says, impress them upon your children. Impress them upon your primary disciples. But the church also comes around and primarily disciples as well. It's this idea of takes a village. So what does this look like? Well, kind of your basic Sunday school answers. Read the word and pray. Don't just do this with your kids, but we model it. I remember waking up consistently, getting ready for school as an elementary school student, as a teenager. It wasn't necessarily every morning, but I would walk into the living room after I got ready, brush my teeth, and there my mom would be on the lazy boy with the Bible, cup of coffee, first of many for the day, and she would be reading. And she would be in her word and not just doing it to check something off of her checklist, but she would be meditating on the word. It's this idea that we are involved in a spiritual sense with our relationship with Jesus, then our kids view it and they model it as well. And also, we prioritize Christian community. This means not just participating in church as something to, again, check off the list or to just say, I did that for the week. Sunday morning came up and I achieved it. Wednesday night came up and I did what I was supposed to do. But it's an actual priority. Pastor Chris has said this numerous times from this stage, not necessarily directly in this context, but referring to other things. And it doesn't have to necessarily be in the context that I'm talking about. But he has said before, what one generation considers optional, the next generation will consider obsolete. Meaning we have a responsibility to not just do something because we feel like we should do it, but to be convicted about it and to actually lead and guide and disciple the next generation in the ways of the Lord. So we have this conviction, we have this mandate from heaven. It's on us, it's not a pressure, it's not something that we suffocate under the burden of, but we have this conviction that it's on us and we're to invest in the next generation because we see that in the scriptures. Why do we do this then? Why do we follow through on this conviction? Well, very plainly, and in a real sense, it's because the next generation is the church of tomorrow. I could stand up here and I could tell you numerous stories of youth leaders, young adult leaders, college ministry leaders who are investing hours into the next generation. And it encourages me so much. And I just really, as youth pastor, I just want to shout out some of those volunteer leaders. If you serve and have served in any way, maybe you used to, but you don't anymore, with ministries related to kids aged zero, so I'm talking about the nursery, all the way through the college ministry, can you just raise your hands? We want to honor you guys and thank you. That's awesome. We love it. We love it. We love it. But this is really not done in a silo. It's not done in isolation. My wife, Rachel, and I, if we were the only ones investing in the next generation, it wouldn't happen. I think of Bradley, which I don't know if he's in the room with us today, right now, in this service, but he's somebody who's been a part of our chapel youth leadership team for a couple years now. And in August, he had a burden for one of his roommate's little brothers. His little brother's name was Landon. He started bringing Landon to chapel youth, and Bradley serves on our media booth team, which means at around 5 p.m., he's got to show up. Service is around 6:30 p.m., and he's got to click through Pro Presenter so that the worship team has lyrics as they're practicing. And so Landon is coming with him early, and Landon's shooting pool. He's playing ping pong. And Bradley, every single week, is inviting him, granting him the invitation, and Landon is choosing to come. Well, through this period and through this process in September, we had Youth Alive Max, which you probably don't know what that is because you're not directly involved with the youth ministry, but it's basically just a three-week outreach where we encourage students, invite your friends who aren't plugged into local churches, invite your friends who may not have a relationship with Jesus. And what we do during those 3 weeks is we just preach the gospel, and we give students opportunities to respond to the gospel. And in one of those services, Landon responded to the gospel. He gave his life to Jesus, and this was 4, 5, 6 weeks of Bradley just continually offering the invitation, saying, Landon, why don't you come with me? I got a free spot in my car. Not only that, the next Wednesday, Landon came up to me and said, hey, Pastor Titus, I feel like I'm supposed to get baptized. After he had given his life to Jesus, we didn't necessarily prompt that. We didn't necessarily announce it specifically, but he came up to me and said, I really feel like I should get baptized. And so a few weeks after that conversation, I mean, he was right here getting baptized just a month ago. Went public with his faith, and now it didn't stop there. He's continually being discipled in chapel youth with some amazing D group leaders. It's this idea that the church is not just the church as we see it today, but it's also the church of tomorrow because we invest into the church of tomorrow. To emphasize this idea, I'd love for us to return to Deuteronomy 6, and I really want to read through this again to let it sink in as we describe what we believe about the next generation being the church of tomorrow. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Just emphasizing that. It's just a reminder of always keeping it in front of the next generation. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6 is talking about preparing the next generation for tomorrow. May we be a church that doesn't leave the next generation with any type of excuse that they didn't have an opportunity to hear the word of God, that they could not say when they grow older, well, I never had a chance to submit to the authority of Scripture, but we are always keeping it in front of them. So as we empower and uplift and make the next generation the church of tomorrow, we have to ask ourselves, how do we do this? Some of these principles go back to what we had just talked about, but first and foremost, we model it, right? Especially teenagers, they're smart. They see very clearly, if you tell me to do something, and you're, I mean, y'all that got teenagers know this, and you're not doing that thing, I'm not gonna do that thing at all right? In fact, I'm gonna call you out on it, and you're giving me an explicit reason to not have to do that very thing. I'm gonna give you guys an example from my own life. I talk a lot about my years as a seventh grade geography teacher. I loved it. It was the best of times, and it was the hardest of times, I'm not gonna lie, okay? Teachers in the room, I shout you out. I only did it for 3 years, but I remember being a teacher in my classroom, and our students had kind of gotten into the habit of just kind of throwing trash away from a distance. You know, I'm talking about like pencils, pens, crumpled up pieces of paper. So this is kind of near spring break. This is me like crawling to the finish line as a teacher to get to spring break. And it's the last day before spring break, and there's 10 minutes left in the last hour of the class. And what do I do really even without thinking as a 22-year-old teacher? I just crumple up a piece of paper and I Kobe that thing, LeBron that thing, whatever you want, Luka that thing, whoever your favorite NBA player is. I make it, of course. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really that athletic when it comes to basketball, but I make it, irrelevant to the story. And my students call me out on it. And I go, hey, no, it's not that big of a deal. Well, I mean, 2-3 minutes later, they got a whole 3-on-3 game going, right? And they got a little crumpled up piece of paper and they're like fake dribbling it and they're like trying to dunk on each other and all these different things, right? But it's this idea that we can't just say what we want the next generation to obey and to follow through on. We have to actually model it. Then we also disciple our own kids. And we talked about this principle already. Even if we don't have kids in the home, it's our spiritual sons and daughters. It's our granddaughters and our grandsons. It's our adult children, because if we're at the point in life where we have adult children, they're obviously investing in your grandchildren, or they're directly investing in a church or in a community where there are young people. And so it is still so important that we are discipling all the way through life. Not only this, we are discipling others. And this is going to look different for every single person in the room, depending on their season of life and depending on your capacity. Right? Like, not every single person in this room, if you got like 4 little ones, 3 little ones running around, you might not be able to take on the additional discipleship of somebody else within the local church. It might not be the right season. Maybe it is because of your capacity, and that's where we have to determine with these two things. Is it my season, and is it within my capacity? Like, I would love for everybody in the room to be like, you got it, Titus. I am going to come and serve in Chapel Youth. But that's not a reality. We have to evaluate for ourselves, is it the proper season? And do I have the capacity to do this thing? And if you determine that both of those things are correct, I will take your application to be a Chapel Youth leader. Come on. All right? Now, if it's not the right fit for you, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay? If there's something else that suits you a little bit better, I'm going to be honest with you, right? But it's this idea, it's not just about Chapel Youth, it's about Chapel Kids, it's about the nursery, it's about the next generation that we are sowing into and investing in. And I get to talk about this, especially discipleship, knowing from a place of confidence that this is exactly what Christian Chapel does. And we get to celebrate that as Christian Chapel members. I mean, I think about kids camp, I think about youth camp, I think about retreats. There are so many things that a lot of us in the room might not even know that we do related to the next generation. I mean, we have youth fall retreat and spring retreat. We have a 4th and 5th graders retreat for Chapel Kids specifically. We have Christmas parties. I mean, there is preschool worship that takes place in one of those rooms every single Sunday morning. So your kids are learning what it means to have a heart of worship at a very young age. Obviously, our nursery workers, and Lindsay, who heads up that nursery ministry, is so incredibly talented. Chapel Kids and the teenagers that serve in all of these areas are so intentional with how these kids are being discipled. Not only this, I mean, we have mission trips. We just went to Brazil this last summer with our youth group, and we get to go to Arlington, Texas next summer with our youth group, and we're launching a young adult mission trip. And so there are a lot of opportunities for discipleship to take place right here in the local church, and it is. Another one of these stories I get to celebrate with you regarding is our building expansion that's taking place. I mean, quite literally, because the next generation is being invested into, this gets to happen. This is really primarily a building expansion due to what's happening with the next generation here at Christian Chapel. We get a new youth space off to this side. There's going to be a new kids space upstairs. Nursery gets to expand over where the offices currently are. Preschool in the same way. This is quite literally something we get to celebrate as a church because of the way God has moved through you to impact the next generation. And so I love just taking a moment on a Sunday morning to celebrate that with you. I really love to be able to do that. It's an amazing thing. We have to recognize that it's not just one ministry. It's not just one person. It's not just one thing, but it's a collective body of believers that are committed to this, intentional with it, and submitted to the Lord in it. Another story I get to share with you is about a family that found Christian Chapel through Youth Alive Max. Remember, I talked about that a little bit earlier. It's our outreach we do where we try to encourage students to invite new friends. And one student got an invite at his middle school and brought his two siblings, and they have been plugged in since about April. They came to youth camp with us, but it's continual discipleship. I talk to you about this story because it's sometimes those unnoticed, quiet moments in a small group room where a leader is investing heavily into a student. This family of three, their names are Kevin, Kailani, and Carson, and all three of them are being discipled by amazing leaders. I mean, I think about Kevin being discipled in his D group by Ben and by AJ, Kailani and her D group by Kara and Bella and Morgan, Carson and his D group by Raphael and Mason and Evan and Will and Cruz and all of our amazing leaders investing in this next generation, because it's not just a one-time moment. It's not just an event in history, but it's a continual process. And that's something that we get to celebrate, not only as a local church, but really as a global church. Because if we say that the next generation is the church of tomorrow, what we're actually saying is we need to make space for this generation today. In other words, the next generation is the church of today. We're going to go ahead and jump back into the scriptures. Just the last two verses of Psalm 78. Verses 6 and 7. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. It's this idea that children are passing it along to those coming after them. I'm going to tell you, we don't always get to see this right in front of us. When we talk about the next generation being the church of today, that means sometimes when we give the next generation a platform to lead today and we invest in the generation today, we might not always see the fruit of that. Like, again, I'm going to talk about being a seventh grade teacher. There were students from August 15th to May 22nd that just gave me grief. From day one until day 180 or however many school days there are, I don't know. They were a constant thorn in my side. I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that. It's just the way that it was. And now I have the opportunity and the privilege of being involved to an extent with the high school's FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's like a Bible study that takes place every week at the high school and many high schools across the country. And there'll be times I run into some of my former students and I'm like, wait a minute, you must have found the Lord at some point, because one, you're in FCA, two, you just sat through that 15-minute message and you didn't like scream your head off or throw anything. What in the world? And sometimes my opportunity and my privilege as a youth pastor is because now I get to see them all the way through. I get to see them in seventh grade. I get to see them in ninth grade. I get to see them as a senior, and you get to see this progression take place. But it also doesn't work out that way sometimes, where because we're investing in the next generation and we believe they're the church of today, we might not always see the fruits of their labor, but we do it anyway in obedience. We do it anyway because it's what the scriptures have commanded us to do. And as we do that in obedience, what we've seen is the next generation come alive when it comes to being committed to Jesus in a relationship with him and being committed to their local churches. I just want to share a couple of statistics that I researched throughout this week preparing for today. If you'd like some of the sources that I used, just come find me after service. I would be glad to send those over to you. But in case you didn't know, this is an interesting statistic that I found specifically why we really emphasize the next generation here at Christian Chapel, is 72% of evangelicals came to faith before adulthood. That's almost three quarters of evangelical Christians in the United States saying yes to Jesus before they turned 18. And just to kind of see what we have here in the room with us today, how many of y'all, that was your story? You accepted Jesus. Yeah, I mean, just look around the room. It's incredible. Who came to Jesus after 18? We praise God for that. Yeah, we give God glory for it all. But through this statistic, we see the importance of next generation ministry, because it's not just this idea that, okay, well, just kind of do your own thing over here in the corner, and then one day we'll let you lead. One day we'll let you come to the forefront. But it's this idea that they are the church of today. How do I know that? Gen Z leads the nation in church attendance. Did you know that? I mean, that is something, yeah, something to give God glory for. 100%. This is how it breaks down. And again, hey, this is not a competition between the generations. I just want to say that. I'm not trying to ruffle feathers or anything like that, okay? The one thing I will say is I am considered Gen Z, 1997. It's my birthday, and that's the day it begins, to 2012. Who do we have in the room today that's Gen Z? Anybody? There we go. Okay, so Generation Z. And this is not just about showing up to a church service. I want to say this first and foremost, but it's an indicator, right? It's an indicator of an outward expression that's first beginning as an inward transformation. So Generation Z leads with about 23 services a year. Where are the millennials at? There we go. You're 1981 to 1995-ish. Second place, about 22 services a year. Gen X, we're the Gen Xers. These are my parents. Awesome. 19 services. Boomers, where are you at? There we go. 17, sorry, Gen Alpha, there's no statistics on you, because if you're going to church, you're probably being forced to go to church. I mean, let's just be honest, okay? That's the reality. But what we're seeing in the next generation is incredibly inspiring. Barna, which is where I'm getting all these statistics from, they do a lot of research among churches and what's happening in the next generation when it comes to spiritual transformation. They say that this is a historical and generational reversal. It's historical and it's generational. I just want to share this tidbit with you as well. Gen Z and millennials are attending church nearly twice as often as they were just 5 years ago. Twice as much. So, one, we celebrate God for that. Two, we still have a mandate, because this is incredible. But guess what? A vast majority of Gen Z, of Gen Alpha, they're not in church. Vast majority. I'm talking about amazing growth, but when you look at percentages, it's still a vast majority that are not in church. But we celebrate God for the win, and we say, you know what? We have more to do. We have more to do for the kingdom as we invade the kingdom of darkness. What I get to share with you is what we see nationally is also what we get to see locally. I could bore you with statistics that we've seen over our next generation ministries over the last few years, but Youth Alive Max, which is our outreach, I mean, we are seeing students come to know Jesus. We are seeing students give their life to Jesus, get baptized. It's an incredible thing, get filled with the Spirit. We see this happen at youth camp, where we don't just encourage students to come to youth camp to win a dinky little plastic trophy that they throw away after 3 days. We encourage them to come and encounter the presence of God. Like, I got to see students encounter the presence of God till 1, 2, 3 a.m. some of these nights at youth camp. Just continuing to expect God to speak to them, to move in their hearts, to move in their lives. It was incredibly, incredibly encouraging. Fall retreats and kids camps. The stories Pastor Amy tells me when her kids go to kids camp and they're sitting there at the altar in the presence of God, wanting to receive more from what the Spirit has for their life, is truly encouraging and inspiring. It gives us hope that the next generation doesn't just have to lead tomorrow, but they can lead today. Of course, what does all this mean? Three quick things. Again, things I believe that we're already doing so well at Christian Chapel, but we want to keep it in the forefront. First is that we make space for the next generation. We do this already. I mean, it is a mandate of me from God in Chapel Youth, that Chapel Youth students lead. I mean, we have Chapel Youth students taking pictures on Wednesday nights, doing pro presenter like Josh back there on a Wednesday night, leading worship on Wednesday night, creating social media content, being a part of our guest and welcoming team on a Wednesday night. I mean, that is what we need to make space. I mean, you guys have probably observed it at Youth Takeover Sunday, where students are up here and they're leading worship and they're greeting at the doors, and they don't even need Youth Takeover Sunday, because I guarantee you, you walk into some of these preschool rooms in this chapel kids space over here, you're gonna see teenagers and college students doing those things already. But we need to make space, and we're quite literally making space, again, referencing the building project. Two, we sacrifice preference for the next generation. Now, we're a multi-generational church, which means everybody is sacrificing for everybody. It's an awesome picture of what the church should be. But as the older generation, you take that however you want to take that. As the older generation, we hold the keys to power. We hold the keys to access. And it's our responsibility to sacrifice our preferences for the next generation. I include myself in that. I do. You might be sitting in here, you're 12, you're 16, you're college. You're just like, yeah. Tell them Pastor Titus, right? Like, they need to be sacrificing for me. You have a mandate as a 12-year-old to invest in chapel kids, to serve in the nursery, to take care of those that are coming after you. This is what it means to be part of the next generation. Last, we lean in to the next generation. We don't lean away. We lean in to the next generation. Next is relative. Just disciple those that are coming after you. I love, and I genuinely love this, that Christian Chapel makes a space for these students to serve. I don't mean to shout him out too much, and as we close out in this worship moment, just try not to focus all your attention on him. But his name's Luke Guthman, okay? He is a seventh grade student. He's actually drumming today, and I didn't know that he would, all right? You're gonna see him when he comes up here to respond. He's probably in the hallway right now, like, what is he doing? But Luke Guthman is a sixth grader, and he'd been practicing for years, but as a sixth grader in our youth group in the spring, submitted himself to practicing and working hard, and would show up early to rehearsals, and he wouldn't be drumming. He would just sit there and watch the drummer. And eventually they gave him an opportunity to play on a Wednesday night. And eventually after playing on a Wednesday night for a youth takeover Sunday, the worship leader said, you know what, Luke, you're gonna drum for us. He did that, and now he's a regular drummer on a Sunday morning as a seventh grader. And this is what we celebrate, yeah. And I could talk about that. I could talk about that, but I could, again, stand up here for 2, 3, 4 hours and talk about all the different stories of students who are plugged in and they're serving actively. I could talk about those who are also involved in worship and chapel youth and are working toward using their skills. I could talk about Rodrigo, and I could talk about Landry and Bree and Sarah and Harrison and all of these students who are working so hard. Harrison, you see up here playing the bass on Sundays a lot now. Not just worship, but in every area. And it's not just about the church. And I want us to recenter our focus tonight. It's not just about playing an instrument on a stage in a church service. It's not just about holding the door open on a Sunday morning. It's about teaching these principles. Yes, they're investing in the local church, but we're teaching them skills and we're empowering them to lead in their workplaces. We're empowering them to lead in their schools. We're empowering them to push back the kingdom of darkness, because the gates of hell will not prevail. It's not this idea that the gates of hell are attacking us and it's not going to prevail. No, it's the idea that the gates of hell are there to stop us from coming in, and we're going to bust them open. That's what I'm talking about. The gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of heaven, and this next generation is what we have to be investing into. And so I'm going to invite us this morning to stand, and the band is going to come, and they're going to lead us in a final song here. And as they do, I just encourage you to reflect, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you of, is there an area in my life where I could be leaning into the next generation a little bit more? Again, I didn't put an age on it. Everybody in here is considered the older generation. What are we doing to provide space? What are we doing to invest in, to disciple? Maybe for you, it's pulling back. Maybe for you, you realize, you know, actually, I'm doing too much. And my primary disciples, the children in my home, they're suffering because of it. I haven't taken care of home base, and I need to pull back in these other areas, and I need to shore up my primary discipleship in my home right now. Maybe for others of us, you're leaning in. You're leaning into others in the church. You're leaning into others in your communities. If that's you, I just encourage you to receive prayer today. Make a commitment to the Lord. We have a prayer team out these doors and across the lobby in a room that's titled Prayer Room. You can't miss it. It's got a big glass window on the front of the door. And if you're here this morning and you recognize, you know, I strayed far from Jesus. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe I thought I did, but it's definitely not there. Maybe you're convicted this morning and you've never walked with the Lord, and you're saying this morning, you know what, I want to commit to the Lord. If this next generation is fully committed to the Lord and the kingdom of heaven is taking ground against the kingdom of darkness, I want to be a part of that, and I want to be investing, and I want to be discipling them as well, I encourage you to do that too. The rest of us, we're just going to respond to this song here, but I'm just going to pray a prayer, and then they're going to lead us. God, thank you for all that you're doing in the nation, in the world, in this church, when it comes to the next generation. Thank you, God, that you are on the move, that you're active, that you're working, that it's not the result of any one ministry, it's not the result of any one church, it's not the result of any one person or any ego, but God, it's the result of your Holy Spirit moving. We surrender to that. We give you glory for that. We thank you, God, as we worship you, that you're a miracle working God, that you're a moving God, and that we will continue to see miracles take place in this generation, the next generation, and beyond. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today at Christian Chapel Online. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit christianchapel.com. If there's something that we can pray with you about, please visit christianchapel.com/prayer. If you'd like to partner with us to tell more people the good news of Jesus, you can do that at christianchapel.com/give. If you're in the Tulsa area, again, we want to invite you to join us in person to experience the fullness of life in Christian community. And if you're outside the area, I can't encourage you enough to find a local group of believers where you can worship and serve together. God bless you. I hope you have a great week.